The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Last week I gave a talk on mindfulness coming out of the important discourse that the Buddha gave on the four foundations of mindfulness. I kind of talked about the beginning of it. I'd like to continue a little bit more today on this topic coming out of this famous teaching instructions of the Buddha. So in the teachings of mindfulness that the Buddha gave, he talked about four areas of applying mindfulness, or four foundations in which mindfulness is applied or centered or stabilized. And these are the body, something called feeling tones, which maybe we'll talk about at some point, the mind, and then particular factors of the mind, functionings of the mind, processes of the mind. And it starts with the body. And the way it talks about the body, it says a person is mindful of the body in the body. Or it's also been translated as mindful of the body in and of itself. And this is a very important expression. And it means it's not exactly clear what it means. But it's interpreted usually as meaning that it's being aware of your body, for example, directly, immediately, without the filter of interpretations, bias, reactions, identifications. So there's a lot of ways we identify with our body. This is my body. Even just that simple identification, this is my body, is identification. And so the remarkable thing is it's possible to be aware of the body very, very simply, in and of itself, without any layer of comparative thinking. And one of the places to see this power of comparative thinking is how some of people compare themselves to others in their bodies. I know that when I was 13, I lived in Italy. It was 1967. Those of you old enough to remember, it was I was living in Italy that summer, but you know, I had the longest hair of any boy in Italy, or at least in that city I was in. And I was the only one who had blue jeans. It was like a cutting-edge thing in Italy. And so I knew I was pretty cool. And so as a 13-year-old, I was kind of energized by this. Very nicely, thank you. Walking around Italy. And then at the end of the summer, I came back to California. And a lot happened in California the summer of 67. And when I came back, I was no longer the one with the longest hair. In fact, my hair was short. And I spent junior high school trying to pull my hair out, make it longer, faster. And then and my blue jeans were just regular blue jeans, and everyone else had figured out how to wash them, you know, bleach them, and some people even put them on the streets, and cars would run over them, and you know, they really, you know, just the art of making your jeans look worn out and torn, and that was the beginning of that era. Now you buy them for $200, but back then we had to do it ourselves. So I came back and I just had regular blue jeans and I had this shortish hair. And what was interesting was how it affected my energy. And now I didn't feel so cool anymore. I didn't feel up, you know. And now I felt kind of deflated, like, oh no, this is embarrassing. And and so my sense of vitality, my sense of kind of happiness in myself was being based on comparing myself to other people. My hair was longer than others, it was shorter than others, and depending on that comparison, I felt good or bad. The hair was just a hair. So to be aware of the hair in itself, to be aware of the hair in the hair, it's just to be aware the hair is there without any of that identification, that interpretation, those comparative thinking we have. And so that's, you know, maybe kind of, you know, kind of simple look at the hair, but we do that a lot, you know. I'm taller, I'm shorter, I'm bigger, I'm smaller, I'm, you know, all these categories that people have. And, okay, Ruth?
I'm going to move back there. I can't hear.
Oh, okay. So, so the beginning of mindfulness involves training ourselves to be present, to be aware of the body in and of itself. Very simple. And the simplicity of mindfulness is a really remarkable thing. And it's probably one of the, for some people, one of the hardest things to learn to do when you do mindfulness practice is to keep it really, really simple. Sometimes we have such powerful habits of mind to be interpreting and judging and evaluating and fixing and seeing in a certain way. And sometimes it's not a problem to do that, but more often than not, it causes stress, it causes suffering, it causes problems. And it's often not so accurate. Our way we interpret our world, even interpret ourselves, is often a generalization which is not actually so accurate to what the evidence actually is. So the idea is to kind of, in a sense, become an empirical observer or a naturalist of yourself. And a naturalist doesn't impose his or her views on nature, but sits there and watches and sees how is it actually there. So the first training in mindfulness is to learn to train to keep it really simple. And that involves a lot of letting go. It involves having enough presence of mind to know when the mind is spinning out, when the mind is categorizing or judging or comparing, and learning to let go of it, to come back, just what is this experience? And it helps if you're interested in this question, what is this really? What is the experience of the body really in and of itself? Generally, the body in and of itself doesn't have a problem, generally, much more often than we realize. Many of human problems arise out of comparative thinking of one form or other. And if we can learn to train ourselves, at least for a few minutes, not to be involved in comparative thinking, things can settle down and become peaceful pretty quickly. One of the things that happens, one of the things I've learned to love, mindfulness of the body, is the feeling it comes when we're settled deeply in the body, kind of rooted in the body. It's a bit different, feels different ways, but to really be at home, here, comfortable in the body. Kind of like your body's an easy chair and you're sitting inside of it. You're kind of there, just there and at ease in the soft, safe, comfortable place. And it's very difficult to have that kind of experience if we're spinning out in our thoughts. And thoughts spin us out and away and keep us kind of not grounded, not centered, not rooted, not at home. And so this process of letting go of the thoughts, letting go of our comparative thinking, letting go of judgments and interpretations, many people find very satisfying because it becomes kind of, because it lets go of the stress of all that and helps us to feel at ease here, peaceful here. Even people who are ill, have sicknesses, and their body's uncomfortable, can find a lot of relief from their suffering by not having a layer of interpretation, judgment, future thinking, prediction thinking, all these kinds of meaning-making that we add to it. A place that I occasionally get to practice with, an interesting place, I've taught about this before, but I'm reminded of it because last night I woke up, I think I woke up at 3 in the morning, and so I think, oh, this, I shouldn't be awake now. I should be sleeping. And so it's very interesting to watch my mind, because my mind will make it a problem. My body has no problem at all. And my mind makes it a problem is, oh, then tomorrow when I go, I'll be tired. And if I'm tired, you know, I'll give a Dharma talk that I'm tired. And it's not going to go over well. It's going to be a disaster. And tomorrow's going to be a disaster. And you know, and I can go out in this. You know what it means, or what it implies, that I'm not getting enough sleep. I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But if I just pay attention to what's happening in and of itself in the moment, independent of my predictions and my concerns, I find when I have insomnia in the middle of the night, I'm quite happy. I'm comfortable. I'm warm. I'm usually well fed. I'm content, I'm safe, no one wants anything from me. And I'm just nicely there. And so if I make that shift from my thinking to how I'm actually feeling, I actually feel quite good. So then, eventually, usually I fall asleep. But if I don't fall asleep, then I feel I just do mindfulness. I stay there and I feel kind of good. As long as I don't let the thinking come in again, creep in. So same thing with sickness. Some people are ill. I mean, it's difficult to be ill. There's all kinds of physical pains and struggles that people have. But it can, those struggles and pains can be a lot easier if we don't have that overlay on top of our interpretation and judgment and comparative thinking and meaning-making and prediction-making that sometimes wraps, you know, tightens up the mind around it. So the beginning of mindfulness has a lot to do with letting go of certain kind of activity that keeps us from being present for our experience in a simple way. One of the ways I believe the text talks about this, it talks about, it mentions putting away greed and distress for the world. So you can't put it away that easily, your grief and distress. But what how I interpret this is that you put away your devotion of focusing on your distress and your greed. You put off your fixation on focusing and thinking about the things of the world, the worldly things, so-called. Your relationship, your job, your house, your bank account, your recreational opportunities, your health, you know, all these things that you can thinking about. And you, for the time being, you put that aside. You put it away. You turn away from it. Not because it's bad, but because that's not where you discover how to be present in a very simple way and the peace that comes from that simplicity. So a lot of mindfulness practices is training in simplicity. So in the instructions of the Buddha that gave for this, he says, how do you practice mindfulness of the body in and of itself? Here, a monastic goes to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut. So in my mind, that implies you go to some place where it's simple. There's not a lot of busyness. You know, you don't go to meditate at Macy's. You know, you go someplace where things can be simple. So the empty room. So IMC is meant to be like an empty room, right? It's supposed to be simple here. And or in a forest or in a tree or an empty place. Go someplace where things are simple. So you're supported in this process of coming in and not focusing and thinking about all these different things that you could be thinking about. And again, I want to emphasize, it's not like it's wrong to think about things, but maybe this is the wrong thing to say. But I think there was a Groucho Marx movie many years ago where some woman comes to Groucho and says something like, you know, explains that I have 24 kids. You know, I love my husband, I have 24 kids. And Groucho says, I love my cigar too, but I take it out sometimes.
Yeah, that was wrong.
What?
That was wrong.
That was wrong. You have a cigar, keep it in. So, you know, it's good to take a break. You know, so it's fine to think sometimes, but, you know, sometimes take it out. Sometimes give yourself the break. The fact that we're giving ourselves a break doesn't mean that we're judging it as being bad. It just means that it's really healthy to take a break. So, and then the monastic sits down, and having folded his or her legs crosswise, sits with body erect and establishes mindfulness in front of oneself, or establishes mindfulness here. Just kind of establish here. This is, it's kind of like, I'm here. This is where I'm going to be. So this establishing of mindfulness here, it again, it takes a choice. And the choice is, I'm not going to let my mind, well, I can't stop it from going that way, but I'm making a choice to try to be here, centered in this place and this time, not in what's happening tomorrow, not in the conversation I had yesterday, not in planning my food, not in worrying about my taxes, not in all these other things. I'm going to be here. Now, it's not easy to do that necessarily. The mind has powerful momentum to think about these things. But there's no hope to give up that momentum unless you actually have some understanding that what you're trying to do is to be here. And that's valuable to do that. And so this movement, so I think it can actually, you know, actually be a physical movement when you sit down, whether it's in a chair or on a cushion cross-legged, is to actually take time to remind yourself you're here. In Zen, they sway back and forth when they sit down to meditate. And the swaying back and forth, you get into your body. I kind of like it, kind of rocking yourself. The Zen people need to be soothed. And so they come and they come and they get closer and closer and get more into the body, centered, and then finally they sit completely still. And it's a kind of reminder to show up and be balanced and be centered. Find some little ritual, some little way, yes, here, I'm going to be here, this is important. And a clear kind of acknowledgement, here I'm going to be, this is what I'm going to do. There's unfortunately too many times in my life where I sat down to meditate where I didn't really clearly sit down and make a commitment or acknowledgement, I'm here to do this meditation. I kind of sat down and I'm here. You know, I didn't even think I was here. I just sat down and my mind just continues business as usual, you know. And after 10, 15, 20 minutes, I thought, oh, I'm meditating. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. So it's a little bit embarrassing to tell you, but that has happened in the past. But to sit down and actually take the time to remind yourself, I'm here. This is what's important. In this brief period of time, I'm going to try to put aside life as usually lived, usually thought about, to try to discover what the experience now really is like. And that's really the task, is to discover, to understand, to see what is really happening now. Not what we think is going to happen tomorrow or we expect to happen yesterday or whatever, but what's really happening now. So this establishing one's mindfulness here. Again, it's not meant to be rocket science. It's supposed to be a very simple thing. In principle, and it's helpful to remember it's trying to be simple. Joseph Goldstein teacher Munindra, his mantra was, if it's not simple, it's not mindfulness. And so sometimes people, when they learn all these instructions, if they listen to me too much, they get all these instructions and they make it sound so complicated, all these things to do, but it's really meant to be simple. It's here, be present. So it starts with the body. And when it starts with the body, the instructions here, it begins with your breathing. The breathing is, for many, many different cultures and religions, a very central piece of religious practice. The breath is often seen as being very important for access to spiritual realms, spiritual experiences, spiritual feelings. And the body is this wonderful mediator between the mind, our feelings, our unconscious mind, and our lived mind, our intentional life, the world around us. And so the first instruction is to tune into your breathing. And the way that it's explained here, and I'm kind of fond that this idea, what I'm about to read, or all of this, was composed 2,500 years ago. It's a long time ago. And I think it reads as contemporary as some was written yesterday, for the most part, you know. You go to an empty room, you go to a forest, sit down, cross your legs, establish your attention here. You know, I hope it's relevant in 2,000 years from now. And then, one breathes. Ever mindful, one breathes in. Mindful, one breathes out. So here you start becoming aware of the fact that you're breathing in and you're breathing out. And here's the breath is a wonderful place to train in this process of letting go of our thoughts and showing up for here, for what's going on now. The breathing is generally always happening. It has a nice rhythm to it, Sometimes it's easier to be present for something if it has a rhythm. So we tune into that rhythm. And if you're paying attention to your breathing, you're probably not going to be paying attention as passionately to your thoughts. And it's easier to let go of your thoughts if you bring yourself into the breath. Not a guarantee you can do it automatically, but it helps. And generally what happens is if you tune into your breath, and keep coming back to your breath, your mind will wander away, and you come back, and your mind wanders away. And slowly the mind quiets down and settles down. Not always, but generally if you meditate for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, things quiet down. And as they quiet down, the thinking gets lighter and thinner. And that tends to have less of a grab or hold on us. And so then it's easier to stay with the breath. To sit down and expect to be able to stay with the breath cold, I'll just do it. 0 to breath in 0 seconds. It's impossible. It doesn't really work that way generally. But the idea that you're kind of working yourself, working the rhythm, working to kind of come back to the breath, and slowly building and relaxing and letting go, so that over time you're able to stay present more and more. So we start by just tuning into the breath, aware of the in-breath, aware of the out-breath, training the mind to stay there, more and more breaths in a row. Then, breathe. Then we start understanding something about what the experience of breath is like. And in this instructions for mindfulness, one of the most common words that appears in the text is the word understand. One understands, or the other common word is to see. One sees and understands. So one begins to actually understand what's happening here and now in a deeper, clear, useful way. So then it goes on. So breathing in, having a long breath, breathing in long, one understands, I breathe in long. Breathing out long, one understands, I breathe out long. So here you begin to understand the nature of the breath. I interpret this to mean that you don't just pay attention to the fact that the breath is long, in-breath is long or the out-breath is long, but you begin paying attention to the characteristics of the breathing, the quality of it. Where you're breathing in your body, is it shallow, is it deep, is there tightness or looseness, is there contraction, is there release of contraction. There's a lot of different sensations that come into play when you're breathing, a lot of different things happen. And in a very relaxed way, we begin tuning into that. And it has to be relaxed, but you kind of tune in and feel and be present. So it's not just simply following the breath, but it's actually beginning to train the mind to see what's there. And this is the hallmark of mindfulness practice, is training the mind to see what's there, not just to keep the mind still, not just to keep the mind concentrated on the breath. So it's a very simple training. So breathing in long, one understands I breathe in long. Breathing out long, one understands I breathe out long. Breathing in short, one understands I breathe in short. Breathing out short, one understands I breathe out short. So that's just paying attention to the breath, knowing it as it is. Then it goes on. One trains as follows. I shall breathe in experiencing the whole body. I shall breathe out experience the whole body. There are different interpretations of what this means. But some people say it means that you start training yourself to feel the whole experience of breathing, from the beginning of the in-breath to the end of the out-breath, the beginning of the in-breath to the end of the out-breath. Some people take it to mean that you experience the whole breath body. You know, if you tune into how your body breathes, and you're breathing in a relaxed, open way, you can feel the whole torso, the whole rib cage moving and expanding. It's relatively easy to feel it in the front rib cage, the expansion and contraction. You might feel the belly move, but it's also possible to feel the back rib cage move. You can feel the space between the ribs opening up a little bit. You feel the lungs or the air kind of pushing the ribs out and stretching and opening a little bit. You can also feel the spine move. You breathe in and the spine expands or opens up a little bit. Probably a little more space is created between the vertebrae, and then when you breathe out, it comes back. You can feel movement in your shoulders. You can feel going up into your head. You can feel movement, if you're very careful, down into your groin, and sometimes into your upper legs. There's a lot of this rhythm of movement that goes on. And so for some people, this instruction is to feel, experience the whole body breathing, is to feel that whole bellows. Get a sense of the whole bellows growing and expanding and contracting and moving. And you feel kind of this big massage happening. And some people who like to stay focused on just a particular area, not just the whole place, like just pay attention to the breath at the tip of the nostril, or pay attention to a spot in your belly as the belly moves, say that this whole body experience means the whole experience of the breath in that one place, the continuity of breath the whole time. Either way, it's pretty great. But then the next one is also very interesting. This is the last breathing exercise. One trains as following also. I shall breathe in, calming the bodily formation. I shall breathe out, calming the bodily formation. So calming the bodily formation is an interesting expression. The formation means, it's translation of sankara, So it's a Pali word. And it means that which is formed, created. And kara means like make, and sam means with. It's like conditioned or formed together with something. And it's that part of the bodily sankharas is that part of our physical body which we experience. How do I say it? It's the experiences we have in our body that are conditioned by what our mind does, the intentions, the activity of our mind. So like let's say I see this bell here in front of me, and I like this bell, and I think this is a beautiful bell, and I want this bell for myself, you know. I really want to, if I could only have this bell at home when I meditate, my meditation would be so good. And so my desire for this bell starts moving, perpetuating. And so what happens is I think about this bell that I want, I start leaning towards it. It's a little contraction and tightening up, and maybe my eyes get a little bit kind of fixated, and my belly gets a little bit tight, and my mind starts spinning a little bit, but how can I get this bell? And, you know, maybe I can go down to the 5 and 10 store and buy a cheap one and change it, and they'll notice, or I don't know what. You know, and so it has an effect on me. And that effect, if I'm sensitive, I can feel the effect of my body, the tightening up of my body as I lean towards it and want it, think about it. That tightening up, that's a formation, that's a physical, it's a physical experience in the body that I'm creating by what my mind is doing, what my intention desires is doing. So if I'm always going around angry, and I have my stomach in a knot or my jaws are all tight, then those muscles might get more and more tired or more and more tense, and that tension we feel is a sankhara. That's something that's created, that's formed by our intentions, our desires, our activities of the mind. So the bodily formations are those formations, those bodily experiences that we can feel that have its origin in the behaviors of our mind, our desires, our intentions, the ways, it's habits we build up. Does that make some sense? It's like Abraham Lincoln was supposed to have said, by the time a person's 40, I think he said, by the time he's 40, the person's responsible for his or her face. And it's interesting to go to different cultures. Maybe some of you have done this. I've been in a country where someone moved from another country when they're a baby. Their parents came from another country, and so they were kind of that nationality, but they came to the new country as a baby, and they lived in that new country speaking only the language of the new country. And to my impression, you can see in the shape of their face, how that culture and that language has shaped their face a little bit different than if they had been speaking their original language from the country they came from. Because you have to use different muscles to speak different languages. Same thing, you know, certain kinds of feelings or attitudes or impressions, you know, they carry their weight. They kind of create a conditioning in our body in a certain kind of way. Some of these are really deeply embedded, and some are not so embedded. I'm sure all of you have had the experience of being tense and feeling how tense it can be, and, you know, done something to kind of relax and get a massage or go for a run or take a nap or do anything to kind of reduce all that tension. That tension is the bodily formation. And so there's a whole slew of things that in fact, what the Buddhism tends to say is that almost everything you experience in your body as an experience, as a bodily experience or feeling, is a bodily formation. That the mental impact on our body is so huge that that is, you know, primarily that's kind of the origin of it. Whether that's true or not, I don't want to speculate, but there's that theory. So here the instruction is, so if you follow along, first you follow your breath, then you start looking more carefully at the experience of breath, which means you're honing your capacity to see more clearly, to recognize what's happening. Then you become aware of your whole body, the whole breath body, maybe perhaps. And now you're more sensitive to feel it more, the greater sensitivity, there's greater heightened awareness because you're calm, you're centered, you're greater aware. And then you because of that, you could take in more information. You experience your body more fully. If you do that, you'll feel the tensions in your body. And here the instruction is, don't just feel it and know it. The instruction is to relax, to calm, settle down. You don't do it immediately. First, you practice just knowing what's there. But once you know it's there, then as you breathe out, relax. There's the wonderful mantra, breathe out, Just relax. See if you can relax it. Soften. Let go. And some of the tensions we hold in our body can be relaxed. Some of it is kind of locked in, and it takes a long time. We can't relax it just because we tell it to relax. But we can soften around it. We can create some softening and not be so gripped around it. And that's true in the body. It's also true in the mind and in the heart. In the mind, it's particularly interesting, I think, because sometimes it's possible to feel the tension in the mind from how we're engaged in thinking. It's almost like the mind is a muscle that can get really tense if we're, or contracted, if we're really preoccupied in our thoughts. And if you let go of your thoughts for a moment, for a little bit, but don't relax that tension, the tension is there and will keep kicking up new thoughts. So rather than letting go of thoughts, pay attention to that the physical tension, the physical pressure that seems to be associated with thinking, and then see if you can relax that. Or just as you, I find that the breathing out is a good place to relax, to soften, to even out this thinking mind. Our emotions, our attitudes, also can be held in tension and holding patterns in our body. And unless we begin softening and relaxing the body, it's very hard to overcome the habits of mind. It's almost as if we tighten up and then say, relax, you know, and tell the mind, relax your mind. If the body is tense, it's almost like there's a feedback loop where the body's telling the, let's say you're afraid and you're tense because you're afraid. There's a feedback loop where the body is kind of instructing the mind, you're scared. And so you might kind of try to soften and relax the mind, but if the body holds the fear, it's hard for the mind to believe it. So sometimes it's very powerful to go through the body and reassure the body, relax the body, settle the body. So that's one of the reasons why for some people it's extremely important to go meditate, if you're doing this through meditation, in a place where you feel safe. So the empty room or the forest or under the tree, maybe that's a safe place. Some place it's safe. So it feels okay for you to lower your guard. So it feels okay for you not to be defended and bracing yourself against life, that some people are. So we tune into the breath, sensitive to the breathing, just training ourselves to be with the breath, show up for the breath, letting go of things that take us away from the breath, just to be here. And it's a training of concentration practice, being with the breath, being with the breath. And then as we're able to stay with the breath better, then we start getting interested in what is this experience of breathing? And that's the mindfulness, to see clearly what this is. And then as we get to see it, we can try to see the whole show of what's happening as we breathe. See the fullness of that experience with that sensitivity. And one of the things you'll become aware of if you do that is you become aware of this what's called the bodily formations, the ways in which our body holds, you know, in shorthand, in Western lingo right for now, the way the body holds tension. And then it's instructed to relax, let go. You don't want to set yourself up that you're supposed to be super successful at relaxing. Then you'll just get tense. Yeah, I have to relax. There's only so much that you can consciously do and relax and let go of. There's a lot of tension that just kind of takes time to soften and let go. But if you can, what you can let go of, do. Some people make it a project to relax and relax. And, you know, if you make too much of a project, then you make it even too complicated. The idea, if it's not simple, it's not mindfulness. So when it's simple to soften the shoulders, simple to soften the belly, simple to relax the jaw or the muscles in the face, try to relax. But don't relax in such a way that you become a couch potato. hear the instruction to relax. Well, I think I'll just do my meditation in bed. I remember I was sitting the three-month retreat, it was 3 months on a retreat at IMS, and I was, relatively, disciplined meditator. So I went to all the sittings. So I was sitting this way, cross-legged on the mat for, about 6 weeks or so. Just every sitting, I was sitting there. And my back was hurting some, and I was kind of a little bit tired. And so one day I said, I've been sitting for a long time. It's probably good to not always be sitting in the same way. It's probably good to give my body a little bit of a break. So I think I'll go and sit in this little living room they had where they had a couch. Just have a little break, And just to give my body a chance to kind of cool down a little bit. Well, so I sat down on the couch to meditate on the couch, leaning into the couch. And that was the fastest meditation I've ever done. I mean, I couldn't believe how fast it was. I mean, I just sat down before I knew it was over. The bell rang. I fell asleep. Boom, I was out. So, that's sleeping. Some people need sleep more than meditation, but that wasn't the point. So if you hear the instruction relax, it means, I'll just go and, in the couch and get all my pillows and, it's good to sit up straight and relax with the uprightness. So that's probably enough for today. That covers a lot. Maybe it's encouraging for you to show up, sit down with some intention and commitment to establish yourself here. Remind yourself that here is not work, here is not the conversation you had earlier, here is not solving your problems with your parents or your children, or here is here. And so begin to turn the mind to really to here, and a really good place to begin is with the breathing. It's not easy, but then we keep coming back to the breath, keep coming back to the breath, keep coming back, and then we start tuning into the breath more and more fully. And what is this experience of breath? And as you get interested in experiencing the breath more fully, less of your attention is available for all your neurotic thoughts. And so then it tends to be more peaceful. And then you become more aware and more aware, and at some point you become aware of the places of holding you have, and then you maybe relax, soften, or calm the bodily formations. And that should go a long way to help you at some point to feel really at home or at peace or settled here. And it's a remarkable, really a remarkable thing to be able to feel peaceful, settled, at home here without the need of TV, iPod, computer, iPad, drugs, food, sex. There's a lot of things people kind of engage in that in order to get happy, in order to get some peace or feel joy or something. And it's quite an amazing thing that if we stop the spinning of the mind and the addictions of the mind, it's that all the goodness, all this beautiful sense of peace is available right here, sitting under a tree in an empty room. So, thank you very much.